I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The State of the Union address is mostly for consumption here. It's primarily an American speech. But there's another country with a lot at stake tonight, as President Obama takes to the podium. Afghanistan is facing key transitions this year, with elections and a possible pullout of U.S. troops on the agenda. And that's what we want to talk about for the next few minutes, with Sangar Rahimi. He's reported for the New York Times in Kabul since 2007, and he's now a Nieman Fellow at Harvard. Now, you were in Kabul last time in August. You stay regularly in touch with family. What's the mood right now?
Well, people are really worried about the election, about the pullout of the U.S. military from Afghanistan, also about the status of the BSA, or Bilateral Security Agreement, which is supposed to be signed between Afghanistan government and the U.S. government. And also, there are a lot of concern, in particular, in the past month, there have been like several bombing and suicide attacks in the city.
Yeah, I mean, in recent weeks, Afghan President Hamid Karzai's anti-American tone just seems to have gotten quite strident.
Yeah, President Karzai has been critical of American for so long time, but this past week, he went beyond any limit and he criticized his one-time partner.
Why? What happened now?
Well, it's the recent civilian casualties which really, really infuriated him. And he lashed out to the military for causing civilian casualties. That's what in public. But who knows what's beyond that?
You say that as if there is probably something beyond that.
Well, civilian casualties is not something new. It has been throughout the course of the U.S.-led invasion to Afghanistan. I'm sure President Karzai might be thinking to use the issue of civilian casualty as a leverage to get more things from the United States.
You know, Sangar, it's extraordinary. We saw a photo recently of Hamid Karzai at the State of the Union speech in 2002 in Washington, standing next to First Lady Laura Bush. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. What has changed in those fortunes between the U.S. and Afghanistan since then?
This is true. President Karzai was once the most beloved president, in particular for the Bush administration. But in the recent year, we also see a change in the mood of both administration in terms of relation. And I know that the relation is now in the coldest ever in the past 12, 13 years. And many argue in Kabul that he's trying to show them that he's a patriotic and nationalist leader. And he don't want to be seen as a puppet of American in the history of Afghanistan.
If that is the case, are there Afghans who are critical of that, saying, you know, look, the United States has helped out this country with billions of dollars for the past 12 years. That's not a really nice thing to do.
There are a lot of Afghans who are criticizing the current stance of the president toward the United States, and they are arguing that you should not trade our future for your personal reputation.
Sangar, you describe a situation that really kind of feels ominous with the U.S., but the point is there's a lot at stake to lose in Afghanistan right now, right?
Exactly. If the government of Afghanistan failed to strike a deal with the government of the United States, we will lose all the achievement we have gained in the past 10 years. Now we have a lot of cell phones. Now we have a lot of women in the parliament. Now we have free media, women rights, human rights, infrastructure. The cities are linked to each other with paved road. And as a personal example, I'll give you my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather couldn't remember go to our village on a paved road. But now there is a paved road and the people can travel on that. But if we lose the support of the international community, and in particular the United States, all those gains will just vanish.
The future of Afghanistan is your future. Will you return to Kabul when your fellowship at Harvard is over?
Yeah, my job is vacant there for me in the New York Times. But I'm not a journalist by profession. I went to Kabul Medical University. I'm a certified doctor, medical doctor. I mean, at the time I was thinking I would have been able to do a lot working as a journalist rather than working as a doctor. With working as a doctor, I would be able to serve a small part of my community. But by working as a journalist, I can help a large number of the people and I can protect my community and I can lead them to the right way.
What's your best example of that?
We were working on the story of this girl who eloped. So her family tracked her down and her brother brutally beat her on her head. So we did a story, then it was widely picked up by the Afghan media. And a lot of women advocates ordered that she to be transferred to a very well-equipped hospital, and then now she's living in a woman's shelter there. If it wasn't our story, I'm sure that girl would have been died by now.
Well, it sounds like Afghanistan's going to need a lot more stories like that, Sangar. Thanks very much for coming in. Oh, great to speak with you.
Thank you.
Afghan journalist Sangar Rahimi is a Nieman Fellow at Harvard this year. We'll be listening tonight for what President Obama has to say on Afghanistan and other big issues. Join our conversation on Twitter during the President's State of the Union address. Just use the hashtag WorldWatches.